Grand Rising, Grand Rising, Kings, Queens, Gods, Goddesses. My name is Kimberly Michael, aka That White Girl, and this is a new episode. It's a evolution of sorts going on the podcast today. Mine, individually and collectively, how that represents itself in every avenue of my life. The podcast being one of them. I'm gonna do my best to stay focused and, you know, stay along a timeline and get this out as clearly as possible because it's so garbled in my head. I mean, I can't even begin to feed you even a portion. I'm literally just trying to give you a crumb. Literally a crumb. I feel like I stayed stagnant for 20 years in the relationship that I was in. And even if I did evolve a little bit, it probably wasn't to the capacity that I could have potentially evolved to. And so I feel like after I made the decision to leave 5 years ago, that the universe kind of just shoved me, you know, like somebody kick you in the ass, like on a show, you see some, kick them in the ass, kind of push them forward, and they kind of, you know, stumble forward, but they move forward nonetheless, they don't fall. That's kind of how I feel and have felt for the last 5 years in this evolution that I'm on. The beautiful thing about it is that this evolution has opened up for me the reasons that I felt and thought the way I did for my whole life. You know, I remember, I just thought about this. This is kind of what's happening in a way. So there was just certain things that I did my whole life and I was never really understood and I was an only child. And I just imagine me as a child. Like, I have evolved, but this personality that I have and this mouth that I got, it's always been around. And nobody really knew what to do with me back in the 70s. My parents didn't really know. My grandparents didn't really know on either side. I was, again, the only child. So I had no siblings to talk to. It was a unique experience, to say the least. So when this whole evolution thing kind of kicked off, it happened like immediately. And I've told the story, so I'm not going to tell it, but somebody made a comment to me. I had a conversation with him and it led to me researching the Moors. And it was literally like floodgates from then. I mean, honestly, that's just kind of how it happened in the shortest version that I can give to you. Okay? It just poured. I mean, literally, my whole entire mind opened and I got it. It made sense and I didn't even know shit at that point. I didn't know shit. I had literally just researched the Moors. And I was already like, how much more shit don't I know? How much more do my children not know? Because I didn't know of course. I mean, how would I know? How would I know any of what I know now unless someone presented it to me for me to look into or research? I mean, I wouldn't even know to go look. Do you know what I'm saying? My ex-husband was reading A Pale White Horse like years ago. Okay, I'm talking like up front and probably 15, 20 years ago, he was reading that book and I was asking him about it and I wanted to read it and he would not enlighten me. So I trusted him at that time and I didn't look or research or read the book or, you know, anything. So part of my, you know, stagnicity, I don't know if I make up words or not, but they make sense to me. So I didn't know. And now I do. And the more that I know, the more I evolve. Because of course, I'm learning. I'm understanding. I'm researching. I'm challenging part of my evolution. How I get challenged. I've been challenged repeatedly over and over again, of course. All the time I'm challenged. And if it's my truth and I hold it and it is strong and there is no, whatever they're saying to me does not even, you know, then I keep my truth and that is, it is what it is. But every once in a while, I run across people who challenge me to where I need to really think about And I'm going to be honest, most of the time it ain't, they don't necessarily present it like, you know, here's some, a bouquet of flowers. Sometimes they're hostile. Most times they're hostile. I'm just going to be honest. And if not hostile, they just, you know, are in utter disagreement with what I'm saying. And at the end of the day, I speak on what I speak on based on the mindset of a white woman and white folks. I do not speak on what I speak on based of the mindset of a black woman and or man, because I cannot. And let me rephrase that, please. I cannot take on or understand or experience or have any insight to the mind of anyone that is melanated. Okay? Because I'm not. What I speak on and what my intention is when I speak about systemic racism, oppression, and black liberation is the mindset that white folks carry about all of those things. Because I didn't grow up around black folks. I didn't grow up in a black neighborhood. I didn't go to black schools or schools that even had black folks in them. I went to private and Catholic schools. That is the truth. I did not get around black folks until I was in high school. And I've said this before on many a show. And so I have a full and complete understanding of white mindset. I get it. Because it never exited me. I just moved on from that being my truth. Okay? It doesn't mean I don't remember what it was, what white folks' truth was. And that's what I try to speak on. With that being said, some of the things I say are offensive to people. I understand that. They're offensive to white folks and black folks. I do my best not to be offensive to anybody, but I'm less concerned with being offensive to white folks. I'm just being honest. I don't give a fuck if they're mad about what I say, because they don't like half the shit I say anyway, especially when they carry the mindset that I'm speaking about. But when melanated people speak to me, okay, like speak to me and say to me, like, this is makes me uncomfortable, or this makes me feel some kind of way because you're saying this or whatever, whether I like it or not, like what they're saying or feel like what they're saying is my truth, I'm going to at least acknowledge it, and I'm going to at least look into what they're saying. If I can do some type of research or maybe self-evaluate, I'm going to give you a perfect example. This is a perfect example, okay? When my kids were growing up, I could not, their father used the N-word all the time. But only when he was on the phone with his boys. And so what I said to him was, could you please, when you're on the phone with your boys, leave the room and stop speaking like that in front of your children? Because both of us had agreed we did not want to encourage the word. All right. Now, look, I just didn't like the word. I'm just going to be honest. Okay. I don't know how much knowledge I had on the word, where it came from, I had an idea. You know what I mean? But to me, it was just ugly. It was an ugly ass word, and I didn't like it. Okay? I didn't. So, I never used the word. I'm not a fan. I think that me using it would give permission to other white folks to use it, and I'm just not going to open up that. I'm just not even going to engage. So, that is not a word that I will use. Okay? However, I did at one time begin, and I don't know where it stemmed from. I could have got it from my children, to be honest. I don't remember, but I started using the word Negro. Mostly, honestly, when I was speaking to my children. Like, I didn't necessarily use it, you know, or someone close to me, very close to me. And one day, my daughter said to me, Mama, this is fairly recently. She said, you know, I love you. And I know in the depths of my soul, Mama, I know that you mean absolutely no disrespect when you use the word Negro with us. I know that, Mama. I promise you I do. I know your heart. But you can't say it no more. She said, because it's not what I know. It's what other people think. When it comes to that word. You think I questioned that? I didn't even ask her a question back. I said, I'm not going to say it no more. And I don't say it anymore. I don't say it to them. I don't say it to her. I don't say it to my other kids who never even questioned me saying the word. You know what I mean? But I listen to her, not just because she's my daughter. Okay. Not just because she's my daughter. But because she is a magically melanated woman. And I fight for her and my sons, period. This is what all this is from. So of course, if she speaks to me, I listen, and I did, and I stopped. And I've had people challenge me in different ways, and I was recently challenged about a word I use. I'm going to elaborate a little. The word was dilute. I say I dilute my race. And a stranger in a place that I frequent challenged it, the word. She said, oh, that makes you seem so, like your race was just so superior and so much. You had to dilute it. Well, she didn't know me. She was a stranger. And I said, that's absolutely 100% not what I meant. I mean, it's not even close to what my intention is behind what I said. It was the mindset that I was trying to get away from. The mindset that I realized that I was gifted to be. I mean, I say it all the time. My cognitive dissonance was challenged by myself. I challenged my own shit. I went through my own thing about my truth. You know what I'm saying? So I was trying to dilute that mindset when I had my children. And I didn't pursue someone just to have a child by all means, but I definitely did not pursue or attempt to create hard one for me, an unmelanated child. That wasn't my intention. So, talk about hard transitions and evolution being a challenge. Shit. So my point is, it was the mindset that I was speaking of when I say I dilute my race. And most people that know me, kind of know me, know what I'm saying when I say it, but some people don't. And so the gentleman that was there said it made sense to him what she was saying. And he goes, and I know you, like, I know that that's not what you are saying. I understand that because I know you, but I understand what she's saying and it makes sense. And so I came home and I looked up the word to read the actual definition of dilute, which we all know what dilute means. Okay. Most people do. But I wanted to read the words, you know, I needed to research this challenge. That's the only way I know how to present it to you. I needed to research this. I needed to self-evaluate. This is where I started. I looked up the definition of dilute and it says to make something that's strong weaker. I get that, but it also says a whole lot more than that. You know what I mean? So, and again, we talk about the intentions behind my words too. We're not just talking about the words itself. You know what I mean? So if any of this music bleeds through, by the way, I don't own the rights to any of this stuff, but I know I got music on low in the background. So anyway, this is where I started. So I read it. I got it. I understood. It made sense what she was saying. All the sense in the world. I ain't gonna lie. I understood it. I really did. But I got, initially I was saying stuck. But I'm not stuck. I think this is an individual moment thing. And that's why I told the story about what my daughter said to me. Because as a melanated woman, me saying something like the word Negro, if it comes across offensive I have no problem shifting. I have no problem taking that word out of my vocabulary. I have no problem. So that particular situation, in reference to someone's who they are as a person, and me respecting who they are at that level as a person, because I could have just said, okay, I won't say it in front of you, and I could have just kept using the word, but I respected her as a whole unit. You know what I'm saying? But in this particular situation, when I say stuck, is because I understand what she's saying. I get it. I do. But that is not how I'm speaking it, and that is not my intention behind my words. And if I decide to take out the word dilute to make her feel comfortable and him feel comfortable, then I put another word in. Now I have three other people that come to me and say, I don't like that word. This word makes me feel so-and-so, such-and-such. Now look, dilute is not in direct effect to a person or a whole group of people based on melanation. So that's why I had to look at the word. Like, is this something that I want to, that I still hold true, or is based on, because where I'm at with this is I respect what she's saying and I understand what she is saying, and enough that I'm looking into it and self-evaluating. But your perception of me is not my responsibility. And that's the other direction that I'm in. Okay. If you misunderstand me or you feel a certain type of way, then we can have a dialogue, which is what's lacking in this world. And I get it. And that's not easily said, but I'm just speaking on me, because that's who I can speak on is Kimberly. Okay. So if I'm speaking on me, I am not responsible for everybody's perception of me. Some people see a good-hearted woman. Some people see a not good-hearted woman. Some people see a race divider. Some people see the unification in what I do. So there's always going to be people who have a different perception of me. I cannot go to each person individually and define who I am for them at the deepest parts of my level. I can speak respectfully of who you are as a person and an individual. That I can do as a, or I shouldn't say as an individual, because I can't, I'm just telling you, I can't. It's not what I meant. I can't speak to you. I can speak to you as a group. So you say, you know, this is my group, and I'm this, and I'm that, and it's disrespectful to that. Okay, I get it. And so I won't speak that to you. But if it's my truth, then it's going to continue to be my truth. And this is one of those things where I understand the dilute word. But that's not my intention. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that we're the stronger race. What I'm really saying is that I created out of my mindset and my lack and my weakness amazing, magically melanated human beings. That's what I did. That's exactly what I did, and I did it on purpose. On purpose. I did not seek out a black man. I did not seek out this life that I have, nor the life that I've lived for the last 20. I didn't, not intentionally. I live by default. It just so happened that my life evolved and the melanation in my children is from a black man. I'm not ashamed. Neither are they. And I'm never going to be ashamed, and I never was ashamed. They're gifts. Like, they are just... evolution of this podcast and of me, really, really, it's the evolution of Kimberly Michael Shaver. That's what this is really all about. The evolution of Kimberly Michael. And that evolution was challenged even earlier on a few months ago by a gentleman who I don't speak to anymore. I mean, we're friendly, but people present themselves to me in different ways, and we had conflicting views about some things, which is fine. I mean, not everybody has the same truth, holds the same truth. And we had extensive conversations in a very short time frame about Black liberation and my fight for it, you know. And he said a few things to me. He was probably very close to hostile about it. He would say otherwise. He would say he was passionate about what he said to me. And I'm not even going to take that away from him because I get it. Because I come across hostile a lot when I'm passionate about something. Even if, you know, good or bad, I can come across very aggressive. I'm aggressively passionate. And he is too. And that is one thing I do love about him. So still. But he addressed my Black liberation and said, you know, because of how I felt and how I've always felt, which is this, I can't liberate Black folks. I can't. It's not my, first of all, I'm white. Like, it's absurd to think that I have any type of audacity to come in and act like I'm liberating Black folks. I mean, that's not happening. Okay. We all know that. You know that. I know that. All right. But some people get that impression of me because I specifically speak on Black liberation. So because I cannot liberate you, I also feel like I don't have any input on it. In other words, I can't tell you how to liberate yourselves either. That's another thing. I can't tell you how to liberate yourself either. So really, when it comes to Black liberation, the only thing that I would really be doing is just repeating something that I already know, that I got from someone else or whatever, which is a lot of what we do. I get it. I don't want to go too far into the rabbit hole. But my point is I needed to find my own space in this world, okay? I needed to find my own existence. What am I really doing if I'm not here to liberate and I cannot liberate? What am I doing? You know, what is my purpose for this podcast? And the purpose has always been to make people aware, Black folks and white folks. White folks, I'm on to you, okay? And also white folks, if you don't know and you're not sure, maybe this makes it clear. You know, I might not be able to change your mind, and I'm not really trying to. Everybody knows that white folks are not my thing. Okay, they're just I'm not trying to enlighten white people. All right, it's too much. It's too big of a task. I have no desire to do it. Okay, none. But what I do want to do, definitely without fail, is to make people aware. I want you to be aware of systemic racism, aware of oppression, aware of an institution, aware of a policy, aware of how white folks really think when it comes to reparations, aware about how white folks really think when it comes to Black folks being liberated, aware of how they fit in and how their mindset continues to fuel the institution, okay? And so here we are, fast forward to this realization that I'm still and will always be pro-Black as fuck. That's just never going to change. I can't foresee that coming out of things, okay? But what I am going to, I'm just going to say shift into, transition into, is my verbiage. So although the podcast, I will still speak on Black liberation, And I will speak on oppression. And I will speak on systemic racism. My purpose for this podcast is focused and more so Black awareness. And so I think that my movement should be Black awareness movement. And I say that because I'm not trying to make Black folks aware of Black folks. Please be clear. But I'm also trying to make them aware of what they may not know, like I did not know. Because just because people are melanated does not mean that they know what every other melanated person knows, that they've been exposed to every other melanated person. And the narrative that has been pushed for generations and the environment that they have grown up in have all contributed to that. And so I want to make people aware. I think there needs to be across the board a Black awareness movement, and to make people aware of really the constructs, if you will, of the United States, the real constructs of it and what it looks like. And understand that there is a way. There is a way. I'm not talking about a balance at this point anymore, but there is a way for Black folks to come aware of who they are and where they came from and what they can do for themselves to create an environment where they can be liberated. I cannot say that any clearer, and I cannot make that any more clear than what I'm saying. I can't. It is crucial, as far as I'm concerned, that Black folks liberate themselves fully and completely, expeditiously, right now in this moment. I've been saying that for a long time. And all I can do is make people aware. And that's what I'm going to do. That white girl is still going to be that white girl. But Black awareness movement is my thing. And, you know, hopefully there's a lot of people that jump on board and live in it, speak about it, talk about it, and whatever it is that your heart is called to do. As far as liberation goes, I mean, do it. Because I can't be in a position to speak on, you know, what to do or how to do it, I will say this so that everyone is aware, without giving, you know, my whole, you know, entire project, you know, what I'm doing. But at the same time, it doesn't bother me that other people become aware of what I'm doing. I'm hoping that everyone will. You know, I mean, I should say everyone who has a heart for it will contribute, but all I can do is talk the talk instead of walk, and not just walk the walk. Did I say that backwards, didn't I? I've had too much coffee. I need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, which is, I do as much as I can do, I do. And it may be little and minimal, but, you know, I boycott certain things. I don't buy certain products. I buy other products. I do my best to stay, you know, within the Black community, Black owned, Black operated, things like that. I truly do that. I truly do that to the best of my ability, as much as I can. And I do my best to keep my business, personal, all of that money in the Black community. And I'm not, you know, upset about that. My intention is, I don't know if most of you know, you probably don't, I don't talk about it a lot, but I am a real estate agent. I'm licensed in 2 states. And my intention is, you know, once I get my broker's license, to have a Black operated real estate agency. Obviously it can't be Black owned because I'm white, but this is my contribution. Like, I'm not just talking about these things. I'm not just running my mouth. Like, I have intentions. I have goals. I have things that I'm going to do. I also have a project that I'm working on that gets into the gentrified or gentrifying communities. And that's important to me. And so everything that I'm doing moving forward is really focused on how I can help contribute to the liberation. And that's how I feel. This is how I fight against the system. This is how I fight against white folks. This is how I get my voice heard more than just on this podcast. Okay? It's about movement. It's about evolution. I personally have evolved, and now, therefore, so has my podcast. So has my beliefs in a certain way. You know, my truth is evolving as well, too. And you guys are here for it. Right smack dab in the middle of it. So I came out at this point because I did a podcast. And this is, I'm going to wrap it up after this. I did a podcast recently and it didn't quite fit what I normally do on my podcast. And this is really when I came to the conclusion of what has happened over the last few months and the challenges that I have been presented with and the truths that I have, you know, looked at and dissected and determined if, you know, they were mine still or if they weren't mine still. You know, I didn't know. So that's where I'm at right now. And like I said, you guys are literally in the middle of it witnessing this go down. So I always talk about narratives that get pushed in the community. And just like with me and the businesses and the projects that I'm doing that are focused around that, I figure why not push different narratives? Why not, instead of talking about not just talking about the bad narratives or the incorrect or the, you know, whatever word you want to put on, attach them, negative, narratives that are pushed. I can push different narratives too of my own into the universe. And that's what I'm doing. So my next podcast is going to be with a woman named Romel Williams. And her narrative is that through everything that she's been through, she's here and she's present and she's evolved. And she is creating greatness out of all the pain that she's come through. That's her narrative as a Black woman. And I mean, at the end of the day, this chick is just dope. She's always smiling. I think I've seen a tear or two, but it's very rare she even smiles through that. But she's my next guest. And my next two guests after that, oh, I can't wait to talk to them. But my next two guests, you know, that's also a different narrative. Black fathers being present. So I'm excited about that one too. And so with all of this being said, you know, I'm here to say that I'm still Kimberly Michael. I'm still that white girl. But I've just evolved a little bit and I view things a little differently and I can accept the challenges and the truths that are presented to me and self-evaluate. And, you know, this is my only way for me to get to who I actually am, to being and who I am. I know who I am. I know innately who I am, but I'm not her yet. Okay. Not yet. I'm almost, ooh, I'm so close. Ooh, I'm so close. So I'm going to cut it off because it's been a little over 30 minutes and who evolution could, I mean, we could talk about this forever and I'm sure we'll see a lot of it along the way. And I appreciate everyone who's going to stay and show up and be present in my moments of truth. And I'm grateful for everybody who has showed up in the past, who comments, who inboxes me, who sends me messages. I'm that white girl across the board. So DATWHITE GURLL, and you'll find me. Thank you so much. I am so grateful for all of you. I'm grateful for every time this button is pushed and someone listens to me, and for all the love that you give me. And obviously, as of today, you know, for all the feedback that you give me as well too. I appreciate you, each one of you. I love you. I believe in you. Till next time. Peace.